Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD, brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? I'm Troy Skinner, and joining me on the panel of one this week again is the pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, Jonathan Schweitzer. And I was just telling Jonathan off the air, you know, we had, I don't know if it was a good show, but it certainly was an interesting show, and it was fun for us to do. I'm not sure if it was fun for you to listen to, but it was a fun show last week, and I was just talking to Jonathan off the air, you know, in the spirit of what we were talking about last week, we were listening to some little vignettes, if you missed last week's show, some little vignettes that were of a Christian nature. They were Bible readings with some narration from by Michael
and
York.
And Troy thought they were extremely boring.
They're boring.
Yeah. And, no two ways about it.
And, Jonathan was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
As a good pastor.
He was trying to see the glass as half full.
Yeah.
And finally, I beat him into submission, and he had to admit that, yes, you're right. It was boring.
Yes.
So in that spirit, we've been doing this show for, we're about to celebrate our third anniversary doing this show.
Can we have champagne on a faith debate?
I think we probably should. Yes. And in the spirit of what I'm about to say, I think that we will.
Uh-oh.
I would like to publicly apologize for boring you for the last 3 years. We're not going to be one of those typical religious shows that you tune out after 30 seconds. You don't even know what the content of the show is, but you can tell within 30 seconds that it must be a religious show because it's boring.
Yeah, that's like so scary. That's like,
we're not going to do that anymore.
Sad. Yeah, no more.
We're going to be interesting.
Yes, in
spite of our uninteresting lives.
Yeah. God help us now that we're going to try to be interesting, you know?
But
like that in and of itself is like boring.
But what a wake-up call.
It's automatically boring.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, trying to be interesting.
I don't want to be like those vignettes we listened to last week. And I think all too often we probably have been.
Right.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, because we get so. Though, you know, when we had the rabbi on a few weeks ago.
That wasn't boring.
Yeah. He went to a whole new level, which is, you know, a good debate really isn't.
That's true.
If you're going head-to-head and you're not.
So what are you saying? Everybody else that's been on the show has not been a good guest? And you've offended half of the pastorate
right,
in Frederick
right.
County.
I'm
Thank
trying
you
to
very
say
much.
It's not me that makes it so boring. I'm trying to defend myself, but you have exposed my nakedness in front of everybody.
I have uncovered your nakedness.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. That's not a pretty sight. So,
back to the show.
Anyway, here's what the show's about. Yes. This has nothing to do with religion or the show, but it caught my attention.
Okay.
As a pretty good way of describing what this show's about.
Okay, so we're going to do a show about descriptions of the show.
Yeah, no. Just this,
part.
This little aside right here.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't try to structure the show.
I know, I did.
You know, don't pretend.
Don't blame it on me. I'm following you today.
Go with the spirit.
Okay.
Pretend you're charismatic.
I'm in the mood.
All right. This is a headline or a little internet story that's headlined, Elephant in the Living Room Confronting the Tough Stuff.
Okay.
You may remember this one.
This
question.
Sounds heavy.
But I'm pumped.
There's I didn't even mean that.
There's an
that
elephant was in a living room, and it sounds heavy. But I'm pumped. I'm loving that.
That was your wit that came up with that. I stumbled into that particular heavy thing.
Oh, you're too honest for your own good.
I am.
All right. Question. Where does the elephant sit in the living room? Answer, anywhere it wants to. An old favorite from a childhood joke collection, but one that is solidly based on a proven component of human dynamics.
Wait. Are you reading like those guys in the vignettes?
Yes,
last
I am. Just for a moment, though. I want to distinguish this boring thing from the exciting new me.
Oh, okay.
So this is the boring thing I'm reading.
Okay. Prepare to be bored.
Yes. So be bored for the next 10 seconds. All right. So this is now you got me all thrown off. An old favorite from a childhood joke collection, but one that is solidly based on a proven component of human dynamics. For the most part, we all tend to avoid addressing the issues that are the most cumbersome.
That's good. You're getting better.
And problematic.
Yes.
Who wants to tackle an elephant and try to change what it's doing? Human beings have an incredible capacity to turn a blind eye to situations that are difficult. Call it denial, call it avoidance, or call it just plain old fear. If you tend to avoid the really tough stuff, you're not alone. The problem with the natural inclination is that it can lead to a culture of accepting the unacceptable. So, does that describe this show or what?
What, that we're trying to go after the tough
stuff? The problem with this natural inclination to ignore the difficult, the weighty, the heavy matters, the elephant in the living room, is that it can lead to a culture of accepting the unacceptable. This show is all about tackling the weighty, heavy, traditionally held to be boring stuff because it's what's important. And if we fail to do that, we will end up with a culture, look around you,
yes,
that finds the acceptable, I mean the unacceptable, to be acceptable.
Yes.
A dear friend of mine, a former pastor of mine, once talked about the cycle that happens in culture, and it's probably not his. He probably borrowed it from someone else, although maybe he did. He was a pretty brilliant guy. He talked about the you move from tolerating something that's unacceptable accepting something to celebrating that same something.
Yeah.
And you can see the phases in a society when that begins to happen. And it happens when you refuse to acknowledge the elephant in the living room and refuse to tackle that elephant for all it's worth and take that chance. So you end up tolerating it, ignoring it. I'm afraid to deal with it. I'm going to just deal with it. So you lose all your momentum. You lose all of your credibility because, well, you know, you're living with it. And who might have said anything? Everybody's kind of going along to get along. And pretty soon somebody's brave enough to admit that they're beyond tolerating it. And you know what? I don't just tolerate it, but I accept it. That's an acceptable alternative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you want to be in the in crowd at that point in the ball game, you just have to accept it too.
Right.
Because that's what the in crowd is acceptable. It's stylish.
And you're not going to tackle that elephant because to do so would go contrary to your nature, which is to deny, avoid, or be fearful.
Yeah.
So we avoid the tough stuff. This says you're not alone, and we're not. We're all susceptible to this.
We're all afraid. We're all cowards.
So then you end up in this environment where you have to say, yeah, you know, yeah, I guess I accept that too because I don't want to make waves. I was just tolerating it, but, yeah, I guess I can see your point. I'm going to have to accept it.
Yeah.
And then it moves from acceptance to let's have a party in the street.
Yeah, yeah, because it's boring just to accept something.
Let's have a national day of honor for this
right.
previously unacceptable behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy, but it's true. So this show is about tackling the elephant, baby.
Tackling the elephant. Can you eat it? We're trying to eat it.
See, this is a show for you Democrats, too. You should enjoy this because you, on this show, can tackle the elephant, baby.
That was good. That was witty.
Two witty, I'm done for the day.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I only got two.
Like two or three already.
I've only got two.
Yes.
All right, now here's something. I think I might have shared this to you once before, kind of offline.
Okay.
But it still kind of fascinates me because I don't know what it means. So a little on-air psychoanalysis if you want. It's up to you.
Great.
There's an online – I don't know what the website is now. But there's an online website you can go to. I think somebody emailed it to me. That's why I can't find the website on this sheet of paper I'm looking at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sheet of paper.
Yes.
But it was a quiz farm.
No nicotine stains.
It's called the Quiz Farm Theology Quiz. So maybe that'll help you find it if you're interested. But you answer this questionnaire. It's an online questionnaire, and it's got – 20 questions, 30 questions, I don't know how many, 30, 40 questions, whatever. It's all multiple choice.
Okay.
Or it's actually less multiple choice. It's more on a sliding scale. You agree
scale
or
one
disagree.
To 10 kind of a thing, right. Okay.
You know, if you really, really agree, it's a 10. If you really, really disagree, it's a 0. And if you're somewhat ambivalent, it's a 5. You
it's
know?
A dumbed down test without getting into education.
Which
you
is
know,
perfect for someone like me.
You and I, yes, yes.
Yeah, so I'm doing this test thing. Okay. Yeah, and I can't remember exactly what the questions were, but it might be something like, you know, all people are born a sinner.
You know? I totally agree.
So you would mark a 10.
Yes.
Someone else, like we had the rabbi.
He was saying everybody's soul, Rabbi Psychowitz.
Psychowitz, he might disagree, and it might be a 0 for him, or it might be a 1 or a 5 or whatever, right?
So, yeah, okay.
So anyway, you answer this question.
Okay.
Now, it is, I think, skewed toward a Christian perspective. The answers you get from this. So I don't know how a Jew or not or other non-Christian, how they would end up scoring on this sort of quiz.
Oh, okay.
But maybe they'd show up okay.
Okay.
But anyway, so I answered all these questions, and then it tries to match you up based on the editors of this website with you know, noteworthy theologians from the ages.
Oh, that you would kind of agree with.
That you're in alignment with.
Oh.
So I guess they would figure, okay, if you say everyone's born a sinner – all right, well, Luther would also say a 10.
Yeah.
Right? Calvin would say a 10.
Augustine.
Yeah, Augustine would say a 10. A lot of people would say a 10.
Okay.
So, okay, you'd score with all of those people on that particular question. But maybe the next question, you're very different than Luther, but you were still similar to Augustine, for example. So anyway, they weigh all of this, and the computer goes, and it spits it out. You like that?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Right at you.
That's how the old computers used to sound on cartoons anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And nobody knows that anymore. Your kids don't know that.
No.
You know?
I don't think computers ever really did sound that way.
Yeah, they never did.
They just did in cartoons. But anyway, so it spits it out.
Yep.
And here's what it says about me.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
It's not 100%. It would have been really freaky scary if I was 100%. But I had an 80% alignment with two people. One of them I know quite a bit about.
Very interesting.
And one of them I know very little about. And I'm going to have to go
read them.
Read to find out what it is I agree with.
Uh-oh.
But I was tied with 80% agreement with Martin Luther.
Okay.
And Karl Barth.
Karl Barth, yeah, yeah.
So, by the way, number three on my list at 67%.
It's Jonathan Schweitzer, wasn't it?
No. But actually, I had three tied for the next position. I guess three tied in third place at 67% agreement.
67%.
With John Calvin, Friedrich Schleiermacher. My German's a little rusty.
Yeah, me too.
Is it Schleiermacher or Schleiermacher?
I've heard it both ways. I have always said Schleier.
I'm going with Schleier then.
Okay.
And Anselm.
Anselm.
Also tied at 67%. And I know a little bit about those guys. It's interesting that Calvin and Schleiermacher would have the same with them because I think they're significant enough different from each other that it'd be hard to match up 67% with both of them at the same time.
Yeah, and I'm wondering like how many of the people that are listening today have any idea who these people are.
Probably not, but for the theologians in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. Are you well-studied enough to be able to give a quick synopsis of who some of these names, what they represent? What
no, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to. Yeah. Just...
Well, I do know. So anyway, and going down the list, others that ranked high for me were Charles Finney, Jonathan Edwards,
those guys,
Jürgen Moltmann,
Paul
Tillich, and Augustine.
And Augustine.
So, Karl Barth, he's a 20th century guy.
Yeah.
He...
German.
He was...
A bunch of those are German.
And I think that Karl Barth was big into like the church being the church, right? Wasn't that a big thing for him? Like
the imminence of God.
And the church should stand up and be the church. Like it's important for the church to step up. Right? Isn't that? I don't know a lot about him, but I think I know that about him. Is that true?
Okay, sure.
Well, I would agree with that. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's where some of the agreement is.
Okay.
Martin Luther, obviously, if you don't know who Martin Luther is, he is given credit for launching the European continent into the Reformation.
Yeah.
With his 95 theses that sparked a whole big
Wikipedia
thing.
In front of us or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so it wouldn't be surprising that I would self-identify myself as a Protestant Christian.
Yeah.
And so that there'd be a lot of alignment with Martin Luther isn't
Calvin.
Surprising.
Yeah.
John Calvin being next in line makes sense. I mean, that's like the 1-2 punch of the Reformation right there.
Finney.
You know.
Wesley.
You know. Now Schleiermacher, I've heard a lot of pejorative things about him over the years. I know that he's supposedly this brilliant guy, but had some kind of harebrained theological schemes.
Okay,
which actually makes sense. So I can see why I'm agreeing with him.
Yeah, see, you walked right into that one.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, that rabbit's row.
Now Anselm,
yeah, that was an interesting.
That's
one.
That's an interesting one because Calvinists aren't real keen on some of what Anselm stood for.
And what was your percentage on him?
67%, which was the same as John Calvin. Now, Anselm is criticized, right, if I'm getting my historic theologians correct.
Yeah.
Anselm is kind of noteworthy for co-opting a lot of the Greco-Roman philosophy stuff and applying it to a Christian
apologetic
context, right?
Yeah, he was definitely very Greco-Roman.
And some people think that he's a little too Hellenistic. There's a nice word for you those who aren't reading along at home. It's boring, isn't it? So what does it say about me? Charles Finney doesn't belong on this list.
Charles Finney, right? But it's on there.
I know. So how did that happen? Charles Finney and... All right. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But Jonathan does. So I go from Karl Barth. Okay, I don't know really enough about that to refute that. Martin Luther, John Calvin, makes sense. Schleiermacher, where'd that come from? Anselm, that's odd. Then Charles Finney... followed by Jonathan Edwards. How does that happen? Charles Finney was this outlandish, kind of like part of the charismatic movement almost, really, before the charismatic movement really was such a thing.
The reality is that you have way more of the rejection of the institution in you, way more of the emphasis on the Holy Spirit and on spontaneity, even your emphasis on contemporary.
And not having things be boring.
Yeah.
Charles Finney was not a boring guy.
Exactly. He was the opposite.
And Jonathan Edwards,
Antonin.
Brilliant, but boring, right?
Jonathan Edwards, brilliant.
I've heard stories about him doing sermons. He would just read his sermons in a monotone.
Effective, you know, in his day.
Powerful, yeah.
You know, not afraid to shoot straight with people. You know, so the problem is, like, they need to list off the questions that gave you away.
Right, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
I need to write to this website and find out.
And furthermore, what that means is that whoever came up with these definitions have, you know, they could be wrong about any one of those.
Well, that's
guys. True.
We don't
it's
know.
It's their interpretation of.
Exactly. And I did mention that at the beginning, the way the editors or however you want to the webmasters, whatever, of that website, how they're positioning.
You would have to trust them.
How they're understanding Luther or.
Right.
Finney or whoever. So that could explain part of it, too. I don't know anything about a couple of these names. This makes me feel like an idiot.
You know?
Paul Tillich, who is that?
Yeah, I always wish that I could read more of these guys. Tillich, again, is another German guy with Schleiermacher and all those guys. The point is you have enough newfangled ideas, enough of a willingness to think for yourself that you fit with some of those guys that you didn't think you would fit with. Because they're known for thinking for themselves and for thinking outside the theological box.
Is he a pastor or what?
What? I'm trying to encourage you right now?
Encourage and bring that around and make me just feel really, centered? And
sorry, why did I do that?
Warm and fuzzy? It's way out of character.
Wait. I meant, but I didn't mean to make you warm and fuzzy. There. See, I thought I was going to make your day rough. And I failed.
Well, you just keep failing like that and we'll stay friends. All right. You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. He's John Schweitzer, the senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, meeting at Crestwood Middle School. If you want to check out Jonathan on the drums one of these Sundays.
That's right.
He doesn't really preach anymore. He lets other people do that for him. But
that's not true.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Anyway.
Percentage-wise.
So here, this is a list. I'm not sure why or how this was drawn to my attention, but somehow, at some point in the not-too-distant future, this list was brought to my attention, and I thought it would be interesting for us to kind of go through relatively quickly on the show. We don't do anything particularly quickly, but more like plotters.
Yeah.
Well, you got to plot a little bit if you're going to tackle an elephant.
Yeah, right.
But questions about eternal reward.
Yeah.
And this is some of the setup. You know, is money the root of all evil?
No, it's the root of all kinds of evil.
Yeah, right. And it's not money. It's the love of money.
Yes.
Right?
See, I didn't even get that. The love of money, right.
Does the tithe apply today? We've talked about this recently on the show.
Does the what?
The tithe.
Apply today. Yes.
It's not an advertisement or advertisement. I can't even say it that way. I'm not English enough. For a credit card. It's not about applying for a credit card. Although, if you want to, you can just visit my mailbox because I get two or three invitations to apply for a credit card just about every day. It's unbelievable to me. Where do these companies get
How did you get from tithe to credit card?
Well, apply today.
Oh, apply today. Or does it apply today? Yes. Yeah, see?
See, that was even too witty for for my really intellectual.
Too stream of consciousness. Yeah.
Are we required to give anyone to anyone who asks? These are questions, actually, we talked about three, 4, or 5 weeks ago on the show.
Are we required to give to anyone who asks?
Generous giving is committed to answering stewardship-related questions thoughtfully. And so there's a bunch of these questions that people would ask. And I'm sure maybe you've been asked these. And so I thought we'd just run through these kind of quickly.
Yes.
Will God reward Christians in heaven for good works done on earth? Will God reward Christians in heaven for the good works they've done on earth?
Yes.
Okay. Should I move on to the next question? Care to elaborate at all?
Yeah, definitely. It's very clear that we will receive a reward for what we've done. In fact, I think that this isn't taught often enough. We just kind of are given this vague impression that there's the haves and the have-nots, you know, those that get into heaven and those that don't, when in fact the scripture is very clear that there's a sense that that those who serve, give their lives for the kingdom, you know, who are sacrificial in their giving, that all of those guys will actually get a...
Now, it's interesting
larger,
to me, but I got to share this. I'm not going to do this with all of them, but with this one, I've got to.
Okay.
There are actually answers on this list that were provided by people that are probably pretty biblical in their thinking. And here's the answer they gave.
Probably pretty biblical.
Well, you know, I don't want to vouch for
your
them.
Your confidence is, you know,
there's not absolute certainty. I don't have the kind of certainty about the words they write that I would about what I find in Scripture.
Right. Okay, right. Okay, right.
Their answer is yes, which was your initial answer, period, which was your initial answer. But then they go on to add, just like you did, although this theme has received little attention in Protestant churches.
Right. The point is Catholic churches. Is this a Catholic website?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Sure.
But anyway, it is the consistent teaching of the New Testament.
That there is an extra reward for those that
So Jonathan said yes. When I asked him to elaborate, he said, well, it's not taught enough, which is what they said.
Yes.
And you said Scripture is clear.
Maybe I wrote that website.
Did you write this?
Yeah, see? I tricked you on it.
Wow. Where do you find the time? All right, question two.
Are
these rewards that God gives to Christians in heaven for the works they do on earth, are these rewards earned or deserved?
Absolutely. The point is that our righteousness in Christ that brings us salvation is not earned, but our response to that righteousness is what leads us into sacrificing ourselves for the sake of the kingdom.
Oh, wow. Now, they disagreed with you on that one.
They don't think that they're earned?
They said no, eternal rewards. I tend to agree with you, by the way.
Okay.
But this says, no, eternal rewards are gifts of divine grace, having no human merit of their own. Far from contradicting God's grace, eternal rewards are the crowning piece of salvation by grace. Having freely forgiven our sins, God goes on to empower us for good works, then to reward us for the good works that he has brought about in us. Well, that's a classic.
It's a Calvinist website.
Calvinist, it must be, because that's a classic Calvinist Reformed answer.
Hmm.
I can't disagree with that exactly, but it seems like somehow.
Yeah, we'd have to split a whole bunch of hairs.
Yeah, there's
to
a
get
lot
down
of hairs. I think I agree with them and you, if that's somehow possible.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I love you more. No, I love you more. It's, you know, the husband and wife arguing.
All right. Why does God promise rewards to believers?
Why? I'm going to say to motivate them.
Well, their answer, well, it's similar, I suppose, although it's not semantic. It might be more than semantic. The purpose of eternal rewards is to encourage Christians to persevere in obedience.
Yeah.
Motivate, encourage. You're going to say that kind of the same meaning there?
Yep.
All right, so you might be a little bit more Calvinist than you think there, buddy. You've agreed with two out of three.
I am.
All right, number four.
I like Calvin, not the Calvinists.
Oh, I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you one of those guys that thinks that if Calvin were alive today, he wouldn't be a Calvinist?
I am. Yes. Yes.
What rewards does God promise to give to his people in heaven?
True love. Marriage.
Okay.
That one was too precise. That, you know,
there's quite obviously not enough oxygen in the room this morning.
Yes, the point is, ask the question again. What is the question?
What rewards
does
God promise to give his people in heaven?
Crowns, mansions, and being in the presence of God for eternity, eternal life, healing. Although I don't know if that's a reward that just kind of comes as part of the package.
Well, they gave a really lengthy answer on theirs.
Oh?
It goes on to say the Bible's not particularly clear on the specifics of the rewards, and then goes on to give a bunch of...
Types of things,
I guess.
Yeah.
It says that heaven serves as a storehouse, a place that we will dwell. I don't know.
Yeah.
Their answer is not real specific, and yours wasn't either. You just started to list a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things in different places that you get a sense that they are part of the rewards.
Let's see if there's anything else in here that's particularly helpful. Not really. So we'll move on. Number five.
Number five.
Survey says, are there different degrees? Now, I've heard this question a number of times from different people. You probably get it too, I would imagine, as a pastor. Are there different degrees of reward in heaven?
Well, that's funny that they asked that question here, because I thought that's the question they were asking at the beginning. You know, the very first question, are there any rewards? And my point is, yes, there are, and there's different degrees, and that some people will get more of a reward. It's a tough word. I actually had trouble with R's and W's.
Growing up?
Yeah, growing up. I had to have a special speech help.
And so reward is a particularly difficult. It's got
yes,
one of
R's
each,
and
three,
W's.
It's got two R's and a W.
Yeah, I used to say I was wanting or I run the game. You know,
wow.
Like I'd get them mixed up.
No
so
kidding. I
reward
didn't know that.
Is a tough one. So, yes. So, yes.
Are there different rewards in levels of heaven?
Yes. I'm not saying there's different levels of heaven. I'm saying there's
different levels of reward, different degrees of rewards.
Yes. Whatever. Yes.
Emphatically, yes.
I think so, yes.
All right.
Yeah, in fact, there's the sense that the saints, the martyrs, those that are martyred for Christ, we're told in Revelation, will rise to reign for 1,000 years, but that all the rest of the Christians do not rise to reign for 1,000 years. So what does it take? That word there for martyr is the word for witness, that those who are the true witnesses for Christ will reign with Christ for 1,000 years, but all the rest of the believers will be raised to life and will live eternally with Christ. And so there does seem to be differences there.
Well, it doesn't, it goes on to give, you know, a nice paragraph of response here on this site, but their general answer is this is unclear. So they don't take a strong stand.
Wow.
Whether there's different degrees of reward in heaven on that. So that's interesting to me. Anyway, there's a few more on there, but kind of like on Johnny Carson and Jay Leno.
Okay.
On The Tonight Show. You know, when they're doing those little comedy bits with the cards or, you know,
right.
He's showing you the cutouts from the newspaper or whatever on
yeah,
the show.
Right. And then he throws it.
He's always got like 20 of them, but he only shows you maybe 10 or 12 and he skips past some and he throws the other side.
Yeah,
oh, this isn't funny.
Yeah.
It was funny an hour ago, but it's no longer funny. So I'm not going to share it with you now.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I was, why does he do that?
So how many did you just throw out?
I threw out 5.
Yeah. See?
So I'm just like Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And me and Jay were tight.
Yeah. 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 You were so judgmental of him.
But he's not boring.
No. right. And that explains everything right there, buddy.
Anyway,
yes.
We've reached the end.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Thank you to Putman Plumbing and Heating, How Can We Make You Smile, for sponsoring the show. Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner, and this is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD.